Welcome to Redmond Radio. I'm your host, Michael Domingo. Thanks for downloading and listening to this show. Here's what we'll cover in this episode for the week of September 2nd. Microsoft releases IE8 beta, Small Business Server 2008 to OEMs, and Forefront Client Security SP1. IT spending's on the rise, and websites remain unpatched. We'll head to the first news bits from Redmond right after this quick musical interlude. Welcome back, and thanks for listening to Redmond Radio, the weekly podcast roundup of Microsoft news and other IT happenings. I'm your host, Michael Domingo, and I'd like to thank everyone who downloads or streams this show or shares it with others. Before I get started, it looks like my salary survey idea fell pretty flat, and as the holidays came and went, the whole idea of giving away a t-shirt to people who either sent in questions or phoned me was a pretty sad idea. So it's back to the status quo for me as we get back on track with this show. At the end of the show, we'd be sure to listen to the details on how to enter my good old Redmond t-shirt giveaway. Let's round up what has happened in the world of Redmond Magazine in the few weeks while we were on hiatus. It was a little more than a week ago that Microsoft released an improved security filter for its Internet Information Services web server that is designed to help thwart SQL injection attacks. URL Scan 3.0 is an add-on tool to IIS that provides real-time verification of HTTP server requests, potentially blocking malicious code. SQL injection attacks have become a worldwide problem in the last 8 months or so. They affect websites built using Microsoft's popular ASP or ASP.NET code, or code enabling dynamic websites. A SQL injection attack is a direct attack on SQL Server by means of a malicious piece of code in a query string, which is passed to SQL Server through an Internet application. If the right safeguards are not in place, the code could be executed by SQL Server, causing havoc on the website's backend. URL Scan has been available for about 5 years, but Microsoft added some new features. In version 3.0, perhaps the most important improvement is that URL Scan 3.0 provides support for query string scanning. For technical reasons, previous versions of URL Scan did not examine the query string in the server request. Instead, URL Scan version 2.5 blocked server requests based on aspects such as URL string length, according to Wade Hillmo, Microsoft's senior development lead on the IIS product team. Version 3.0 adds filtering based on the query string, in addition to the URL, as well as the ability to create more granular rules that can be targeted to specific types of requests. Microsoft plans to include comedian Jerry Seinfeld as part of its new $300 million ad campaign, the Wall Street Journal reported some weeks ago. Comic Jerry Seinfeld will get $10 million for his work, according to the journal, citing an unnamed source. He may also appear in ads with Microsoft's chairman, Bill Gates. The effort is part of a larger campaign to deflect Apple's Mac versus PC ads that depict Microsoft's products as unhip. Microsoft recently began working with a new ad agency, Crispin Porter & Bogusky, known for its strange and unnerving Burger King ads. In related news, a new report from Forrester Research shows that the tide may be changing already on Vista adoption. The report suggested that foot-dragging on Vista by businesses had come about from factors such as the economy, Vista's perception problems, and past incompatibilities. Those issues will diminish with time, making 2009 a big year for change, according to the report. The study found an indication that businesses are already shifting to Vista. For example, conversions from Windows XP to Windows Vista are on the rise, from 5% in fourth quarter 2007 to 8.8% in the second quarter of 2008. The study called that finding a new trend. Previously, Vista upgrades were associated mostly with Windows 2000 shops. The report suggests that IT administrators move to Vista for security reasons, to stay current with software life cycles, and aim for compatibility when Windows 7 arrives in 2 years. Microsoft is trying to deflect some skeptics who believe its recently revealed Mojave experiment, in which anti-Vista customers reacted positively to Vista disguised as a new operating system. A few weeks ago, Microsoft provided a few more details about the experiment that generated a reported 89% satisfaction rating for Vista among the 120 consumers surveyed. The new details are available at the Mojave Experiment website. Some questioned the hardware in the experiment. Microsoft said that those computers were one-year-old HP DV2000 laptops with Intel Core Duo CPUs and 2 GB of RAM running Vista Ultimate. The hardware issue is important for those using Windows XP who may face a hardware upgrade in order to use Vista. It's a sticking point that has caused some upgrade resistance, at least in the budget-strapped enterprise. There also have been complaints about the lower-end Windows Vista Home Basic consumer-grade OS being a less-than-adequate upgrade from XP, and that it lacks the fancy Aero graphical user interface. Even so, some critics pointed out that it was just a demo conducted by a salesperson. Critics believe people may have formed different opinions if they had actually tried to use the operating system themselves in a day-to-day setting. As one part of the IT world waits for a new software release, the SMB customer is eagerly awaiting the release of Small Business Server 2008 in November. It's since been released to OEMs last week. The release was slightly ahead of the September RTM date predicted at the July Microsoft Worldwide Partner Conference in Houston. The new server offering is part of the Microsoft Windows Essential Business Server 2008 product line. It's an integrated server offering that encompasses a number of Microsoft technologies, including Windows Server 2008, Exchange Server 2007, and SharePoint Services 3.0. It also includes security and online applications. Microsoft released an Internet Explorer 8 Beta 2 test product last week that targets improvements in users' browser experiences. The IE8 development team seems to have spent considerable time on the browser user experience with this upgrade. The company's IE blog states that the team focused more on flow, or how people typically use the browser, when adding features. Microsoft also partnered with other search vendors to improve the search capabilities in IE8, including Live Search, Wikipedia, and Yahoo. Interestingly, Google wasn't on that list. And in our final news item, Microsoft last week released an update to a 2007 Internet Explorer patch covering Internet Explorer 5.01, Internet Explorer 6, and Internet Explorer 7. Microsoft said this latest IE security update resolves a privately reported vulnerability in the vector markup language implementation in Windows. The main purpose of VML is to allow servers to communicate with one another and share structured data, particularly via the web. The patch was designed to stave off remote code execution exploits. The updated IE patch addresses the kill bit for ActiveX controls, as well as the way certain strings in cascading style sheets files are configured and aggregated for web publishing. Up next, news from the rest of the world of IT. You are listening to Redmond Radio. Again, for listening to Redmond Radio. If you enjoy listening to this program and staying informed with what's happening in IT, please pass this show around to your colleagues. Before we finish up with the rest of the podcast news, here's an update regarding what's online on the Redmond Media Group websites. Redmond Magazine in August looks at the promise of simpler network management and cost savings associated with Microsoft's Hyper-V technology. And in September, the salary survey. Over at Redmond Channel Partner this month, the editors try to piece together the often puzzling picture Microsoft is revealing slowly in its software plus services strategy. Now we'll look at news in the IT world. Gartner issued a report in which it projected that IT spending should eclipse $3.4 trillion this year. That's a year-over-year growth of 8%. And that may seem at odds with another recent Gartner survey, this time of CEOs that suggested a slowdown in IT hiring is possible. Gartner principals insist that ongoing economic uncertainty doesn't seem to have adversely impacted IT spending. In fact, the report suggests that even with reduced growth in spending, most will be made up in emerging regions replacing obsolete systems and shifting to newer technologies through spending. There's a caveat, of course. One reason the report believes IT spending is strong is because it's measured in dollars, a currency that has undergone a period of protracted decline relative to others. According to Gartner, that helps to account for much of the growth measured by its survey. On an adjusted basis, Measured in terms of constant currency, IT spending growth is about 4.5%. Aside from its surprising spending projections, the Gartner report does contain a few other twists. Researchers, for example, say it looks like we're in transitioning away from traditional IT leasing or buying models toward a service-based model. The two biggest IT budget categories are software, which is poised to grow by fully 10% in 2008, and IT services, with an estimated 9.4% growth rate. Gartner said that most of today's IT spending gets funneled toward services rather than discrete products, and it's a trend that's only going to get more pronounced over time, according to Gartner. In another report from market watcher Infonetics, the worldwide VoIP market was down by 4%, thanks largely to a double-digit decline in the session border control and soft switch segments. That's the first-ever sequential decline for SBC, which dropped 14% between first and second quarter of 2008. If there's any softening, however, it's quarter-to-quarter, not year-over-year. Compared to 2007, the overall VoIP market is up by 3%, spurred by strong gains in the media server and SBC segments. For the rest of 2008, Infonetics projects the VoIP market would be posting strong growth. Infonetics projects robust VoIP market growth through 2011, with the combined VoIP and IMS segments nearly doubling in revenues over the next 4 years. During that period, Infonetics says, IMS core equipment, particularly for home subscriber services and call session control function servers, should account for most of that growth. Zen has a new version, 3.3, that includes a number of upgrades and enhancements that make it more enterprise-worthy and start to move it beyond the data center. Zen is a free open-source hypervisor, first released in December 2005. It is used as the basis for many virtualization implementations, including Citrix Zen Server, and offerings from vendors such as VirtualIron, Sun, Oracle, and Novell, among others. Improvements cut across a number of areas, including performance and scalability, efficiency, security, and portability. One long-awaited feature is memory overcommit, which allows more virtual machines to be loaded on a physical server. In addition, VMs can now be moved to servers with different CPUs and still function properly, regardless of the CPU's virtualization support. In terms of green computing, Zen 3.3 features better power management. And in our last news item, according to a trend report for the second quarter of 2008 released by Sensic, 7 of 10 web applications analyzed engaged in unsafe communications practices that could lead to exposure of sensitive information during transactions. Cross-site scripting is the most common injection flaw, with 60% of sites analyzed being vulnerable to the attacks. About 20% had SQL injection applications. Meanwhile, White Hat Security reported similar findings, with cross-site request forgery vulnerabilities present on about 75% of websites. Now the good news. White Hat reported that 66% of all vulnerabilities identified have been remediated, underscoring the value of a consistent website vulnerability management program. Nonetheless, it also reported that 82% of sites have at least one security issue, with 61% having issues rated as high, critical, or urgent under the Payment Card Industry Data Security Standard. And believe it or not, that's it for this week's episode of Redmond Radio. Before we end the podcast, just a reminder that we're going back to the usual Redmond Radio t-shirt giveaway. And it's real easy to enter. Just send me an email with Redmond Radio t-shirt on the subject line of your message to mdomingo@1105media.com. That's mdomingo, M-D-O-M-I-N-G-O, at 1105media.com, 1105, M-E-D-I-A.com. That's it for this episode of Redmond Radio. I'm Michael Domingo, and I'd like to thank all you listeners who continue to support Redmond Radio by streaming and downloading this program, and especially those who pass this show on to their colleagues. See you here next week.